Welcome to the London Welsh Rugby Club podcast.
This is episode 88, and our guest this week is Wales and British and Irish Lions legend Mike Phillips. Mike is a headline guest for our Friday night dinner on February 9th on the weekend of the Wales versus England clash at Twickenham. On Saturday, our marquee is back, and we'll have room for 1,500 revellers to enjoy the match and live music. Details are on our website. In the podcast, Mike pays tribute to the very sad death of JPR, a true London Welsh legend. We then discuss what Mike is up to now and get to hear about his life as a pundit and what he thinks of Wales' chances in this year's Six Nations. Enjoy! Welcome to the pod, former Wales and British and Irish Lions player, Mike Phillips. How are you, Mike?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
Well, look, we're recording on Tuesday. We just found out the terrible news about JPR Williams, who was a Wales and Lions legend like yourself. What are your reflections and memories of JPR?
Well, he's a lot bigger legend than what I was. What an iconic, player and person. And I only met him once. It was quite a special moment, actually. We were... So myself, James Hook, and it was Sir Gareth Edwards and JPR were asked to sort of go to the stadium. It was in 2011. I think that it was before the last game Wales beat Ireland for the Grand Slam, if I'm right. And they asked us all to come down there and do bring our Grand Slam winning jerseys with us. And they were going to do a pre-game sort of filming thing. And it was really, really cool because we were obviously at the stadium. We were like in a little room and we were all getting changed into our jerseys, so I'm taking my jersey on my bag. And then obviously to my left is Sir Gareth Edwards and JPR's on my right and Hookie. It was almost as if we were all going to play together, and, obviously looking at their jerseys and, they're obviously... they're absolutely iconic and, legend isn't enough of a word for them, isn't it? What they've done for Welsh rugby, how many people they've inspired and things. So that was something really special to sort of have that sort of few moments with them. And then we lined up as if we were going to go out to play. It was all for the pre-game thing, but it was something really, really special, really. And, they were lovely to chat to. Obviously, I met Gareth a few more times, but it was great to meet him. And obviously, the sad, such sad news this morning. And obviously, thoughts go out to his family and everyone with him and things. And what an iconic rugby player.
Yeah, look, he played for London Welsh for 8 years because he studied to be a medicine in London at university and played for us. I said for 8 years. Sometimes we come up, it's even stories of him coming from a Lions tour, playing for London Welsh fifths team to get a bit of match fitness before going to play for Wales. Do you know what I mean? So he's through London Welsh through and through, and he played for London Welsh. He's one of the seven London Welsh players who played for Lions in 71. So it's he's a big part of our history at London Welsh as JPR.
Amazing. I didn't realise that, but that says a lot for him to play, as you said, for the fifth, just to get game time and... Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm quite proud of my record against England. He's never lost, has he, at all? So, that for a Welshman is amazing. And yeah, his iconic, sideburns and, his look as well and his socks down. And, obviously before my time, but... that era, obviously, your parents speak about them and your granddad speaks about them all the time and all the fans. And so, they're part and parcel of even when I grew up, an iconic sort of, such an iconic player.
Definitely. And how many people are known by their initials, JPR, that in itself is quite telling to, how famous, he is in a way, and what true.
And he won Junior Wimbledon, didn't he? Fair play to him. He's, like I say, I only got the pleasure of meeting him once, but he's been, you can see the pouring of, respect that he's had, you know, today in particular, and I'm sure he'll go on for many, many days and many months to come.
No, I'm sure you're right. Look, we speak to you now. You're based in Dubai. So what are you doing yourself in those sunny climates then?
Well, I'm trying to duck and dive, really. Trying to, there's always lots going on. I'm trying to set up this sports podcast at the minute and things. That's one little project. There's always little projects going on. I've got some business development things going on. I'm an ambassador for a few companies. That being said, I'm trying to play as much golf as I can. I love golf. I've got two young boys, 5 and 3. So I'm basically a taxi and I'm an Uber driver for them. So yeah, you know, it's just bits of everything really. And I'm back in Wales quite often, working with as a pundit, working a lot with S4C now and stuff. So yeah, no, it's lots going on really.
Did you do any coaching there? Have you got like a coaching school for rugby in Dubai?
I did start a coaching academy and tried building it up and things and through different schools, and then COVID came. And I was also coaching a senior side here, which I really enjoyed and I learned a lot from. The COVID kind of killed the academy, and I thought I was back and forth too much, doing lots of work in UK. And yeah, the senior kind of thing, I kind of moved away from it. But it was my first kind of real sort of coaching thing. It was just after I retired, and I couldn't quite get a grasp, perhaps, of... Well, I had my ideas and didn't quite fit in the end. But, I mean, it was an amazing experience and a real valuable experience, to be honest. And I did a lot of one-on-one coaching, so in particular, obviously, with scrum halves and stuff, and I've done lots of that, even do it now. So I've really loved that part of it. So I've kind of... You know, that's one thing I've taken from it is in the future, I'd love to be more, you know, to do more work with scrum halves and stuff. So, I see real good value in that and get a real good buzz from it.
I've seen lots of the Dubai schools like Rossing Park Sevens, but what's the sort of the senior rugby like over there? Because you said you're coaching a senior team. Is it quite well developed? Because you've got Dubai Sevens as a international event, but outside of that, is it much of a rugby season?
No, rugby's massive in Dubai. Yeah, obviously all the expats, rugby's huge here. Schools, rugby's massive. And the senior game is huge. I mean, the team I coach, Jebel Ali Dragons, they had a first, second and thirds. I mean, the first was probably full of your Division One type players probably in England and... you know, Wales probably, some really good quality in there. And then the seconds is a bit of more, you know, more fun than just, you know, enjoying themselves. And it's all about the social. And the thirds then, you'd have 56-year-olds playing, and that's proper social, that is. So, fair play. Rugby's massive, yeah. It is a big part of the culture. Football's big, but I would say rugby's right up there. Do you know what I mean? It's... it's lots of South Africans here, obviously Welsh, English, Scottish, you know, all the British, obviously, and then Kiwis and the French, and so it's a big expat community, obviously. So rugby's a big part of I play a lot of the touch sort of leagues as well. That's quite good fun. So rugby's huge here.
That's good to hear that. Look, the reason we speak today is that you're our main guest for our England versus Wales dinner at Old Deer Park on Friday, February the 9th. What can our guests expect from you, Mike? Because you've had such an amazing career, so many experiences that you could talk about, stories to tell. And obviously, we don't want to tell them now on this podcast because we want people to come to the dinner. But, you know, you must enjoy these type of events because you've got so much to talk about.
Yeah, no, I do really enjoy it. I get a really good buzz from it. And if I can get some laughs, I love that. And I think, I brought a book out. So that's out there and there's a lot in there. There's a lot of honesty in there. So, yeah, and obviously I retired now for 6-7 years. So I can speak a bit more openly and things. And, you know, I like to think I'm a bit of a comedian as well. So there's always trying to make people laugh. That's the big part of it. But obviously, you know, have a good balance between trying to give an insight into what it was to be a professional rugby player, playing for Wales and the Lions and things, and talk about some of the characters and the stories and what goes on. So, yeah, and I've done, you know, the more I do, obviously, the more comfortable you get, and you try some stories, they don't work, and then, you know, some do. And then, so, yeah, it's a really good buzz, actually. And, yeah, I've really enjoyed that sort of part of what I do. I don't do too many. You know, I pick and choose, but obviously, you know, such an iconic rugby club, and with all its history, and obviously, you know, London Welsh, I mean, wow, you know, it's right up there as one of the, you know, most famous rugby clubs. So I'm really looking forward to the night.
No, we're looking forward to having you there. It's just going to be a brilliant night and a brilliant weekend. But, you know, as you say, you pick and choose these sort of things. But, you know, you said London Welsh is iconic. But, you know, when you were playing rugby, you know, London Welsh, I suppose, just got into the, you know, in your middle of your career, you got into the Premiership with Lynn Jones, a coach, you know, quite well. Was there another opportunity where you might have come to London Welsh in the English Premiership? Because you did play in the Premiership a little bit later in your career.
Yeah, no, I would have loved to play for a London Welsh. Might even do so now. But
I'll speak to Kai Griffiths about that.
Just agreed to play for in a charity game now in July, so that'll be good. The opportunity wasn't there really. Those talks didn't happen. I had 1 year. I was in France for 5 years, and I wanted sort of one more year to get rugby out of my system, and I went to Sale Sharks, which was amazing. I loved the people up there in the club, and then but no, it wasn't really, you know, an opportunity. But no, that would have been really cool to, you know, to play for London Welsh. I mean, it's such an iconic rugby club.
But, you know, the Six Nations is going to be a busy time for yourself. You say you come back and forth from Dubai and you work in the media, and you've got events like ours. Do you manage to enjoy these weekends? Because this is work for you. Obviously, you've got to get an income for your family. You know, you're working in the media. Is it something that you really enjoy?
I've made enough, mate. Made enough money in my career. No, I mean, I wouldn't say... No, I worked for the... You know, did all... I don't know. In my head, I can't see it as work. I don't know. Work for me. I grew up on a dairy farm. So work for me is, you know, doing that. My dad's worked all his life. I mean, I've just managed to play rugby, and it's not work. You know, I can't really, you know, it's meant the world to me. I'm doing the punditry stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's, I would never call it work. Do you know what I mean? It's, something really fun. Yeah, I'd have a trouble with, you know, with calling it work. I would never call rugby work.
You being the person you are, Mike, though, you always want to do the best you can. So if it's punditry, you want to do the best you can. If it's like entertaining the crowd at a Friday night dinner, you want everyone to come away thinking about a great evening, don't you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I don't want... No, 100%. I'll be proud and I'll be disappointed if... You know, it's like the ego in you type thing. You know, as the performer, you know, you want to perform to the highest standard. I want, you know, everyone to take something away from it and have perhaps see me in a different light, or, you know, whatever it may be. So, no, you always want to portray, you know, I don't know, get my personality across there and make sure that everyone enjoys, really. That's a big part of my character, really, is always wanting to make people laugh. That's what I've always done, really.
Look, the whole weekend for London Welsh is massive. You know, when Wales are at Twickenham, obviously England, Wales, we're 2 miles down the road. It's absolutely huge for us. So
am I the biggest name that's ever been there? Probably am I.
Well, we've had Sir Gareth Edwards.
I got more caps.
More caps, exactly. So to me. But look, you know, you're currently our biggest name. So look, on Saturday we have a marquee though for 1,500 people. And with live music, and the match is shown in the marquee.
You might need a bigger marquee.
For the Saturday.
For the Friday.
You're there Friday. So, look, you know, Llanelli Warriors are playing in the afternoon, but we've got, you know, with over 500 in the clubhouse as well. It's a huge weekend for us. But, you know, so if people want to book, they can book on the events page on the London Welsh website on a Friday night, for the Friday night and for the Saturday. You're welcome to be come to the marquee on a Saturday, but I imagine you've probably got a few media commitments on the Saturday at Twickenham, haven't you, really, that weekend?
Yeah, I have, unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, but no, I've heard, you know, it's a legendary sort of place to go and watch the rugby, isn't it? You know, I've seen the videos now and think, and heard so many stories, and it's such a great time. So I'm really looking forward to be part of the weekend, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and we have buses from Wales coming down from rugby clubs to come to the marquee to watch the game in the marquee, and then they go back again on the bus. It's like, it's bonkers, right? But also they do, and then people then just also use it as a stop before going to Twickenham.
Why don't they sleep in the marquee and then just, you know, go out the next day as well?
Hey, bed and breakfast opportunities for us there as a club, isn't there? We should be taking advantage of that. Look, that'd be pretty good. But these weekends also an opportunity for you to meet up with your former playing mates, aren't they? Because if you're back and forth from Dubai, you get a chance to, well, you know, whilst in between your work, you can meet up with some of your former players' mates.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. And then there's, you know, it was similar to the World Cup, really. You sort of, you're in part of the media, and you come across, you know, players from other countries as well, players that you've locked horns with, and, you know, and you know, perhaps Lions mates and things like that. So that's really special, really. It's quite nice. A good catch up with, like, Tommy Bowe, for example. So he was in the Ospreys in France one night, and, you know, so many players. So yeah, that's quite special about the game, you know. And it's always the same, you know, whenever you haven't seen someone for many years, it's just like you know, it's just like 10 years ago when you were playing together or against each other or something like that. So, yeah, it's quite special.
So you were over for the World Cup. Did you stay for the 7 weeks, or did you go back and forth for certain games? Because it's quite a big period away for your family, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was back and forth, really. So there's a lot of travelling. Yeah, so it was lots and lots of travelling, but the team and the company I worked for, Whisper, they were amazing, and we had a really sort of a good group of people there, lots of fun had, and yeah, it was amazing. So it was a real sort of family sort of feel to us, you know, and even the trips up to Gatwick and whatnot from Cardiff were, you know, good fun, and it was, for me, it was nice to be part of the team again. It was felt like as if you were, you know, part of the rugby sort of rugby team feels, like rugby team feels. So it was really cool, really, to be part of that. And I think it came across then when we were on air.
So you said Whisper, obviously you're on air on S4C. So you'd lived in France for 5 years, you said. So what do you think of France as the host country? Because I went to quite a few games and really enjoyed being in France. So work in there and catch up with people, you know, and you know, there's that infamous clip, isn't there, when those Bayonne fans, I think, or Racing fans pass you when you're being a pundit with S4C, and they start chanting that one of the sort of songs of Bayonne, I think it was, is that right?
Yeah, that was Bayonne fans, that was. I don't think the Racing fans know who I am, but no, I think I really enjoyed myself in Bayonne a bit too much, to be honest. I think perhaps... yeah, I think there's a really sort of more of a country sort of feel to it, and I think they're amazing fans. So and there's so many of them, you know, it's truly passionate, and that song is amazing. It really is one of the best atmospheres, playing for Bayonne versus Biarritz. I mean, I went back to play that fixture in the middle of the Six Nations, and it was almost a bigger atmosphere than playing international. You know, it was crazy. So, the fans were brilliant. You know, and I, like I said, there was a few stories of me in Bayonne. So I think they kind of liked that kind of, the funny stories and what goes on off the field. So I think that could have helped the singing, really.
That's great. But France as a host country was brilliant, wasn't it? Did you manage to get to go to other games outside of work, or do you just purely there like to commentate and pundit on the Wales games?
No, we were mainly in karaoke. we didn't really have much time, to be honest with you. We didn't, but the fans, it was a shame that when France went out, you did see a difference in the atmospheres of games and Ireland as well in particular, because they brought so much to the party as well. But in particular, France, you know, all those fan zones were quite dead then, you know, as soon as they went out, which was a shame, really, because our first game, we covered our first game, France versus New Zealand. It was unbelievable. Oh. And, you know, you just kind of felt that France were on a roll and everyone's behind them. So it was an amazing atmosphere. And it was a shame that they didn't quite get there, really.
And do you get a chance to interact like with some of the Welsh fans? Because you're covering the Welsh games. Do you manage to go, you know, do you manage to go out socially afterwards, and the behaviour around you is pretty good?
Yeah, we went out a few times. We did. We met loads of Welsh fans, and you know, there were so many out there, and so many good spots. And I think all the fans loved it. Some of the French hospitality is a bit strange, man. I remember asking in the hotel we were staying, I asked this guy, it was about 12 o'clock midday, and 12 o'clock is midday, obviously. I asked the guy in reception, can I have a coffee? And he said, well, if I serve you, I have to serve everyone. And I thought, well, I think you could be in the wrong job, yeah, mate. So, it was really cool. So many Welsh fans there, and it was a great World Cup, wasn't it? And, you know, epic final, and Wales did really, really well. I think you have to say that those four teams, France, Ireland, New Zealand, and South Africa, they're sort of a level above perhaps the rest at the minute. And like I said, it was a shame that Ireland and France went out, but, you know, what a World Cup. It was a good advert for the game.
Yeah, it was superb, wasn't it? Absolutely superb. I was going to ask you what you thought about Wales, but as you said, Wales did all right. Probably maybe underperformed slightly in the quarterfinal, but it could have gone either way that game, really, with 10 minutes to go, couldn't it, anyway?
Yeah, and Wales, perhaps Argentina should have had a yellow card or something, but with that sort of takeout, clean out, whatever you want to call it. But
oh, yes. But also Josh Adams, maybe, as well, in the first end of the first half. He didn't do something.
Yeah. They did really, really well, didn't they? Topped the group. But it was kind of disappointing then, because being at that game, and we were quite high looking down on that game. We had a bird's eye view. I know it's easier from up there, but there was so much space. And I felt that, you know, they were really exposed at the back, and they didn't seem to have, the defensive systems in place. I thought they were, you know, open to attack. And unfortunately, Wales just didn't quite take advantage in that first half and kept them in. And then that just fed the Argentinians then, you know what I mean? They're full of emotion and full of heart. And I think you've just got to try and kill them, you know, knock them in the first sort of 30, 40 minutes, and didn't quite do that. But every credit to them, they came back and, they won in the end, which was a bit of a poor one there.
Yeah, look, that's the World Cup. That's gone now. So we're on the eve of the Six Nations. What are your hopes for Wales, or what does Wales emerging in credit out of the Six Nations mean to you? Where do we finish in that table, do you think?
I didn't realise there's lots of, for example, I think we've got England. Well, England's the second game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's lots of injuries there, lots of players missing. So perhaps a good time to play England, particularly away. And then, but obviously it comes down to the first game. The first game is massive. Yeah. You know, you lose. Yeah. If you win that, you're flying. You've got your match fitness into you, which is international match fitness, which is completely different to your regional fitness. Because it is a bigger intensity and dealing with all the pressure and whatnot. So that first game is huge. And if you can get that win, we're going up against Scotland, who they are much improved. They are getting better and things. So I do find them slightly arrogant, some of the players, but there we are. They are getting better. And Finn Russell's playing really, really well in Bath. So he's going to be pulling the string. So it comes down to that first game. And then, you know, we can perhaps take on England, who are perhaps missing a lot of experience. And then who knows? Yeah, you know, it's but it's really close every year now. It's closer and closer. Italy are much improved. You know, you go, is it Benetton? They're second in the league. You know, they're right up there. So there's no easy game, and it's going to be it's going to be interesting. The first game, even Ireland versus France on the Friday, that's going to be epic. So the margins are going to be small, and it's going to come down to those. The next few weeks will be interesting to see, you know, who, which players, which teams will pick up injuries. There's no doubt there's going to be more injury. Unfortunately, I think Jack Morgan's out for Wales, which is a big loss. You know, he was epic in the World Cup, and I really like him as a captain, as a leader. He seems very grounded, and you know, not sort of saying these things just for the cameras, and you know, he seems very normal, and you know, what a player, both ball in hand and defensively as well. So it's just going to be really, really exciting, really, after the World Cup.
No, I agree. Wales seem to be struggling a little bit at 10 and 15, don't they, with a bit of depth there. But, you know, hopefully some new players will, you know, step up and, you know, take to international rugby, really.
Yeah, definitely. The boy in Cardiff, sorry, I just forgot his name now. He's been on fire, hasn't he? But then, you know, you've got options there. Zamit potentially can go there. Or, you know, Dyer has been excellent for Wales. Certainly with ball in hand, he's been a major threat. So, it's exciting times, really, and be interesting to see who does come through and develop, because, you know, it is that cycle now for the next World Cup as well.
Yeah, and what do you think of, like, England and Wales chasing that extra winger, the Femi Ibosu, I think, I completely pronounced it wrong, but Welsh-born, but at Exeter, and it seems like you can choose, you know, but obviously born in Wales, we'd love him to be playing for Wales, really, wouldn't we?
Yeah, well, with all honesty, I mean, it's only just been in the news this week, really, isn't it? Yeah. So I haven't really seen much of him play. I've heard what the English team get paid, so I'm...
if you're Welsh, you're Welsh, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't know enough of his history and stuff. I mean, exactly. I mean, if you're Welsh, you're Welsh. I don't know. I mean, was he in Wales for a week and then went? I don't know.
No, I think he's lucky. He's born in Cardiff, raised in Cardiff, went to, I think he went to a college in Bristol, I think, Clifton College, and then Wasps Academy, and then to Exeter to play. He's studying to be a doctor as well at Exeter University. I think it's a bit more complicated than just, born and raised in Wales sort of thing. But hopefully Gatlin can have a word this week with him.
Well, if he's studying to be a doctor, then he's got the brain, so he's got the after career, you know. So he's, you know, he needs to get to Wales, and then he needs to sort it out, doesn't he?
No, he certainly does. Look, Six Nations is going to be amazing. You're at club on the Friday night. People will flood in to come and hear what you got to say about your career. It's going to be great weekend, Mike. Look, thank you for your time today. Really, really appreciate it. We look forward to welcoming you at London Welsh on February the 9th. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Looking forward to it. See you there.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.